We're in the middle of the seven different qualities that the Chovas HaLevavos says that anyone in whom we're going to put our trust must have these qualities, certainly for ever higher and the highest levels of trust. What's interesting, once again, and we pointed it out when he spoke about the alchemist, that he first talks about humans, he sets up the concept, and then he shows how Hashem fits those requirements. And I think it's very, very significant, because I think what it indicates is that if he were to speak, you know, remember, our Chazal, our Rishonim, were masters of human psychology. Masters, we learned from them true psychology. And one of the things they knew was that when you talk directly, especially about a religious topic, Hashem, Bitochen in Hashem, Emunah in Hashem, all of these things are very, very powerful. They're very pressurizing. They're very, forgive me, almost threatening, because they mean, hey, shape up. You're dealing with the creator. You're dealing with the boss. You're dealing with high stakes. If you don't make it, there's no place to go after that. So they always present it in a lower tone. These are the qualifications that a human being needs to be able to be trusted. And now we'll from that extrapolate and say, hey, this is what Hashem needs. So there's already, we've sort of agreed on the criteria. And now we just have to see that Hashem fits those criteria. But if we didn't agree on the criteria, we might fight, or we might more fight the application to Hashem, because that's threatening. Now, even though Bitochen is such a pleasure, Bitochen is such an uplifting feeling, Bitochen is responsible for such menuchas hanefesh, such peace of mind, but lemaisa, it has to do with religious pressure. It has to do with the fact that Hashem, it's all about Hashem. And there's an innate, I would call it resistance, not rebellion necessarily, but resistance. Since Hashem created it that way, so when we reach spiritual heights, we get more schar, because there was resistance. If there'd be no resistance, there'd be a no-brainer. We'd be, wouldn't be worthy of anything. We wouldn't be making ourselves into anything. But so this is the way he does. So now he's still talking about the human
Rebbe, excuse my question, but do you have a source for that? Like, where do you get that from?
Where do I get what from?
Where do you get from that the Rishonim, or specifically Chovas HaLevavos, first does the human side, then relates it to Hashem because of religious pressure?
I ask you, why do you think he's doing it?
I don't, maybe because we can relate.
Hashem has all of these qualities that you need in order to
have
because
it's easier. Because Hashem is not something we can relate to, so we relate to a human.
But you're going to have to relate to him anyway. You're going to have to relate to him anyway. Just tell me straight. Listen, Hashem has Rachmanis. You need that for Bitochen. Hashem has all powerful. You need that for Bitochen. I believe, and this is something we find all the time, I believe that the psychology is when we've agreed upon principles. Now, it's the same thing like this. Let's say I want to convince you that something is inappropriate. I tell you straight to your face, this is inappropriate. You there's a resistance.
I'm not disagreeing with the concept.
I don't want to get into a whole discussion here, but let me just finish. If I, instead of telling you to your face, hey, what you're doing is inappropriate, what I say is the following. You see this guy over here, you see this theoretical person, or maybe this real person, or maybe this straw man, we call it, this is inappropriate. And from there, you can take the lesson. It's not in your face. The more in your face, the more resistance. When I tell you directly, Hashem is this, Hashem is that, Hashem is this, I've been talking about Hashem. Okay, it's very powerful. Now, mitzad echad, I'm craving for it. Mitzad sheni, I resist it. There is always religious resistance. The name of that religious resistance that we call is the Yetzer Hara. That's part of the human psychology. That's part of the way Hashem created us. That's part of why we get so much schar for doing good. Now, when I tell you that, let's agree on the criteria that you need to have trust on a human being. Oh, there's no resistance to that. I'm not going to argue with any of those principles because they're illogical. But the minute you're talking about Hashem and you're placing that pressure upon me, the logic becomes questionable in my mind because of the pressure that it puts. So this is clear to me that this is a psychology we find all over. This is why when you, if you want to give teichocha to a person, the best thing is to tell him a story about something. Don't speak directly. When you speak directly to the person, there's resistance. When you get him to agree to a concept and fit it onto himself by himself, it's a much more effective, a much more less resistance provoking, less pressurizing approach. Okay, so let's just leave it at that. That's what I'd like to see. So we're still in the midst, and I must admit, I thought we did this already, but I do this with others sometimes, and I don't know. Let's go for the reverse. Let's try to finish Hashem off today. I mean, don't forgive me for putting it that way, okay? So let's go this. This is the, I mean, finish the human part off today so we can get to Hashem for next time. Sheyeh HaRavias, that's page 52. Sheyeh Yodeh Ofnei to Elis HaBotech. The one whom you're trusting has to know all the benefits. Velo Yaole Mimenu Mashu Tevlo Benisu Benira. And he can't be lacking any knowledge of what's good for you. Because if he lacks knowledge of what's good for you, you can't rely on him to do the good for you. And what's going to be good for his benefits? If he doesn't know this, I can't rely on him with menuchas and nefesh. He doesn't know everything I need. He doesn't know all about me. He knows that his knowledge about everything that's beneficial for me and the ability to do them and his hashgocha that he could keep upon them and the rachmonis that he have on me, and I could certainly have tremendously strong bitocha without a doubt. Let's move to the next, because I really want to finish these. Chamisha, shiya misyached ban hoges abatei cholov, betchilas havayosoy, begidulav yankusav narusav baharusav shishusoy, ziknoso ad tachlis inyonot. He has to be aware. It's like he watched me from the moment I was born. He knows everything about me. He knows from the time I was a baby.
But I think we did this. Not to try.
I think we did it. So let's go fast. And my growth and my youth, and then when I was a nar, and then when I was a bocher, and then I was a middle-aged person, an older person. But mainly, he knows everything about me. That allows me to have menuchas hanefesh and to rely on him, because he knows everything. What's good for me? What's not good for me? There's no secrets. He doesn't know anything about. Let's say he knows about my childhood trauma. So Mamela, he could deal with it accordingly. If he doesn't know about my childhood trauma, then he could be thinking, giving me something which is good for me now. But that word that he's giving me, or that thing he's giving me, is going to evoke a rupture of all my problems that I had in the past. No, but he knows everything about me. So he can perfectly tailor everything to my needs. That's almost finished. There is no other koyach. It's completely mosu b'yodah. He controls everything. Nobody could damage him and to benefit and not to give to me and not to push a hezek away from me. Only him. Like an Eben who's bound in the prison, the Beis Habor, down in the pit, in the control of his master. Because when I know that he is the only one in control, and this we pointed out, I think, is a very interesting thing. If I think there's someone else who could help, or there's someone else who's in control, or if I don't realize the Yichud Hashem, that Hashem does everything all by himself, but it's all Hashem's control, and I can't rely on him because there are other factors, there are outside forces, there are other, no, there's nothing, he is in control of everything. Next, the Shvius. Shia Misha Botacholov, Betachlis Haradibus, Achesed, Misha Roiloi, Misha Eino Roiloi. Very important point. I have to know that he's the ultimate Bal Chesed to those who deserve it and to those who don't deserve it. Because if I don't know that he is the ultimate Baal Chesed to those who don't deserve it, then c'est moi. I'm one of those people that don't deserve it. And therefore, he may not do it for me. And therefore, I can't rely on it. I can't have Menuchas HaNefesh. But when I know he doesn't discern between Tzadik and Rosha, he takes care of everyone. His Chesed, V'rachamov, that's the posuk we say in Ashrei every day, V'rachamov al kol ma'asov. On all of his creations, V'rachamov al kol ma'asov. And Mela, now I'm included in kol ma'asov, that much I am. Okay. V'tiyah nedivusa mismasmedes. And his nedivus, his generosity, his giving is constant. Masmedes, masmit, tomid. V'chastan yimshach. And his chesed is drawn out. Lo yikores, lo yiposik. It will never be cut off. It will never end. Okay. So these are the seven things that a human being has to have. Let's go on page 57. Umishnas kapzvo kolavidus elu. Im komashe his karnu koydim lase. With all of these minas and everything we mentioned before, nishlamu tnoya bitochen boy. These are all the conditions for us to have a bitochen in a person. But hischayev ayodea zeh mimeno liftech boy. Listen to this. Hischayev. He's obligated. The one who knows these things. In other words, it's like if we realize all of these things, then the bitochen comes mimela. I mean, it's a very good question. Because everybody asks that question, how could you be mechayev a person in emunah if he either has it or he doesn't have it? So Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman explains, and others too, that there are things that we could do to strengthen that emunah. Because really, if we didn't have blinders, we didn't have taiva, you know, leading us in the way of material things and desirous things and pleasure, then a person opens his eyes, if he was born with an adult intelligence, and he looks up and says, who created this world? That's enough. Like Avraham Avinu said, there has to be a balabira. But unfortunately, we have desires which blind us and so forth. But it's a natural thing. He says, if a person realizes the depth of all of these things that we discussed until now, these seven conditions, then bitochen will come in mela. Because when he has the depth of the realization, then of course I'm going to trust. And he'll have menuchas nefesh on the outside and on the inside in his heart. And all of the organs of his body. This to me means no anxiety, no nervous twitch, no. I don't know what other nervous things people get, you know, the nervous reaction. It will have both emotional, spiritual, and physical margoa. It'll put him physically in a more relaxed position. His anxiety will disappear. His psychosomatic illnesses disappear. He won't have to go to a sauna for therapy and things like that. His everything will disappear because I put my trust in Hashem with my entire being. Very important line, he says. And with his organs of the body. These two lines are extremely significant. The Lirtzois b'gzeroisov. I will want his gzeros. Now, what does that mean? If I don't have bitochen, I may not want the gzeros because be'etzem, the gzeros are burdens. I have to do so many things. Tariag mitzvahs and who knows what's noch. That's burdens. But if I have bitochen in Hashem, then that trust tells me, Nasim and Ishma, lay it on thick. Whatever you give me, of course, because I trust you. I know everything you do is for my good. If it's for my good, I want more and more and more and more and more. If it's not for my good, then I resist. But if I know it's for my good, so the Baal Bitochon, who knows the good of Hashem and how he does everything for his good and how everything he delivers is for his good, then he's going to want the Xeris. Memela, it's interesting. And I found this to be true. I've lectured to people who are not religious. They claim they don't even believe about bitochen. Now, if you don't believe, you can have bitochen. But the attraction of this bitochen is so acute, is so powerful, that these people want to become religious. They want to be, they want the gzeiros. The Baal bitochen sees the world with a different lens. he will judge the individual who he trusts. I keep forgetting this is not Hashem. We're still talking about the moshel with the person, but he will judge him for good in everything he does, because I have such trust in you. I know your goodness. I know your kindness. I know your involvement. I know there's no limitations. So made everything you do for good. That means that to the Baal Bitochen, when something negative seems to be happening, dinov umifolov, which could be din, could be din, sometimes is painful, and whatever he does, it's all good. A person with Bitochen can come to recognize kol madov rachmonot tavov, whatever Hashem does is for the good. Of course, it's talking about the person, not Hashem, but that's the power of Bitochen, that I look at the one in whom I trust. I trust, this doesn't make sense to me. I trust you more. You know better. It's impossible. How could this possibly be good? I don't know, but I trust him. Mamela, that's the effect that it's going to have.
If I could just ask a question, please.
Please.
So, I hear what you said, but if you look at the Nisana Tokef on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? It says, cry at Roi HaGezeira, that the evil decree should be ripped up. But according to what you're saying, by the Baal Bitochen, there's no such thing as an evil decree.
Well, okay, so like this. Yes and no. What do I mean? The Baal Bitochen will, let's say death. Death is an evil decree. We don't want to die. We don't want people to die. On the other hand, the Baal Bitochen will rise above that and say, I'll judge Hashem for the good, which means I'll say, everything Hashem does is for the good. I don't understand it. That may be. And I don't want it. So, you know, I once gave a lecture from Parshas Hazino, how all of the details of the Holocaust are hinted in Parshas Hazino. According to the Goyin, Parshas Hazino should refer to the last century. Everything fit in beautifully. It was a very nice lecture. I even pointed out how there's a remnant to the gas chambers, because it says Ketev Meriri, which the Malbim, who died before World War I, they ever used poisonous gas, said it's Avir Arsi Memis, poisonous gas that kills. And there was a Holocaust survivor sitting in the front row, I'll never forget. And when I said, even the gas chambers, there's Marumas in that parasha, and he screams out in Yiddish with a broken heart, Dem Toiva Binechem Moichel. That Toiva that he told me about in the Torah Am Moichel. In other words, don't do me no favors. I don't want to hear that. And he was right. In other words, Mitzad Echad, we know, the Torah says, and everything Hashem does is for the good, and we know what's going to happen, and we understand these are the consequences, so forth and so on. Oh, it hurts. Now, there is a level of Bitochen, which he's not talking about, because by a human being, you can't even talk about it. But that's a level where I go beyond trusting that Hashem's always going to do good, to the point where it makes no difference to me, good or bad. Pain or suffering or pleasure makes no difference to me. That's a very high, that's a level of, Dovid HaMelech said, Chesed u'mishpat o'shira, al chesed o'shira v'al mishpat o'shira. He was able to say Hallel for Chesed. He was able to say Hallel when Hashem punished him with Mishpat. That's really, I don't think the Chavis HaBov is even, the Chavis HaBov is Bechlal, Rebbe Yisrael Salanter taught us, is speaking on the common level for most of us. It's not speaking on the highest level of Bitochon, where you don't even have to do any Ishtadlus in that. So there is such a thing that you say that really doesn't even bother me. But on this level, I feel the pain. I'm not happy with it, but I know that it's for the good. I'll be done him. That's what he says. Yodin oisoy, v'lodun oisoy l'toiv. That's why I would deal with that. I hope that clarifies it a little bit. Okay, let's just see. We can move on a little bit. Kasha nachko, now page 58. Now, when we look at all these seven things, we don't find them at all with human beings. Now, here again, I say, so why did he mention them? Because it's the moshel that allows us to get the concept without the resistance or the pressure of that. We're talking about Hashem, and this is going to obligate. You see, the Baal Bitochen will want to do the Gzeiros. That's the last thing he said. But you have to get to be the Baal Bitochen before he's going to want to do the Gzeiros. And we don't want him to be focused on the Gzeiros before he becomes the Baal Bitochen. So once he becomes the Baal Bitochen, then he's ready for that. So he says, And people can't really get this. This is not really human, but it's just a dugma for us. But they're all to be found in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that we already realize what they are, now he comes and brings it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shumarachim al Briyosov, and he has brachmonis on his creatures. Kemesha Kosov, Rachum v'chanun Hashem. Hashem is merciful and gracious. Ve'omar v'ani loy ochus al Ninveh u'ir ha'gdoyla. I'm not going to have brachmonis on Ninveh u'ir ha'gdoyla, on that great city of Ninveh. So we see here, the first midah that he spoke about is on Hashem. And then he goes on and continues with all of the things that he said before about a person would have to have for us to put our trust in him. Now he's going to show us that all of these things exist by Hashem. I would like, though, to mention that he starts with Shehu Merachim al Briyos, Rachum Mechanon Hashem. The Pasuk says, Verachamov al kol ma'asov. I want to point that out for a moment and for the following reason. In Shmoneh Esrei, we say, Al tzadikim al chasidim, Yehemu rachamecho Hashem Elokeinu. Evoke your rachamim. And what should you do with that rachamim? The same socha toivucha labaitcha b'shimcha be'emes. Give great schar to those who truly trust you. V'sim chalkeinu imoyem lo'ilom. Put us amongst them, even though we're not on the highest level. And all of us shouldn't be embarrassed because we have trust. It seems that the midah of Hashem that's critical in bringing about the response to Abitochin is his rachmonus. And I'd like to try to explain that for a moment. Somebody asks you for something. Okay. Right, so you either respond or you don't respond. If he's in terrible pain, then you would respond more. If he's not, maybe less. That's each person does with each situation, whatever. A person comes to me and says, "I'm counting on you. I'm desperate. There's no one else to turn to, and not only is there no one else to turn to, but I just know you're not gonna let me down. I know your kindness. I know your chesed. I know your nedivus. I know that you're capable. I'm counting. I have no one else to count, and I'm counting on you." That evokes in the human concept rachmonis. That's much more rachmonis. He's counting on me, and he has no one else to count on. That, I would say, is a critical ingredient in understanding how Hashem responds to Abitochan. Asking is also, to frustrate the asking is also a painful thing. But it's more than that. I'm not just frustrating the asking. You're counting, you're relying on me, you're desperate, you have no one else to turn to. Because remember, if you have someone else to turn to, you can't rely on Hashem fully. We can't muster the full confidence that I need because, if you won't do it, I have a different etzah. But there's no other etzahs. And I'm so sure that you're going to give it to me. That evokes arouse your rachamim, and then you'll be able to give sochar toivul chalabit chemeshim chomemus. So I think it's very important to understand, because when we understand things, we can achieve them better, we can work on them better, we can internalize them better. It's very important to understand that bitochin, the way we can understand in human terms, Hashem's response to bitochin is with rachmonus. We put ourselves in a trusting, relying, refusing to give up hope situation. Hashem looks and says, that's too painful. I have rachmonis, such a person, such a matzah. So that's what it seems is responsible for bringing out the for the response to bitochem. Let's go on. V'she'enu mis'alim, kima shekozin el'yon v'nisham Yisrael. There's another very important ingredient that we have to know about Hashem's response to the Baal Bitochan, not response to Baal Bitochan, why we feel the ability to put our trust in Hashem. If Hashem would not see something, then that would be terrible. He doesn't know. He's not updated. He's not educated. He's not aware enough. I said, maybe he's not going to help me. He doesn't know what the situation is. He doesn't know what's going on. Or misalem is really more, he causes himself he diverts his attention. He takes his own attention away from it. Hashem doesn't do it. He never sleeps. Very important for us to know. Because if we think that Hashem's attention is diverted from us, he's not paying attention to us, and or he's sleeping, or he's just not, you know, we're not on his radar, then we can't possibly trust him. And it's very important here to point out a very serious psychological impediment to certain bitochen. I need, at the story, I must have told it here, 75 cents out of mice with one of my kids. I'm not going to go into that now. 75 cents. Hashem really cares about 75. He's so busy, has so much to do in this world. He's going to worry about my 75 cents? Narishkeit. So, Mamela, for 75 cents, I cannot be talking. Now, I need $7,500. But to him, $7,500 is less than 75 cents to me. So he's going to worry about my $7,500. I need $75,000. And to him, $75,000 is like a drop in the bucket, is a penny. So he's going to worry about. So we tend to think, nah, my Narishkeit, I'm not going to worry about it now. I want to catch the bus so I shouldn't have to walk in the rain. And I'm going to have bitochen. Come on, please. Walk in the rain. You know what people went through? What do you? No, he's not misalem from anything. He pays attention to every single detail. Everything is important to him. Very important nekuda. Because if we don't realize that, then when it comes to asking for certain things, that we may forget. Now, there's a beautiful moshel. We're running out of time, but there's a beautiful moshel. I heard this little story from my mother-in-law, Zecharenu Levrocha. It's a wonderful story. I love it. And I apply it to the brocha, one of the brochas we say. There was a woman, an almona. She was supporting her family. And she supported the family by baking everyday bagels and bringing it to the shuk to sell. One day, she's standing the whole day in the shuk, and she didn't sell one bagel. It's getting dark, time to go home to her children and this. And she's a little bit distraught. All she has is a box of bagels on her shoulder, whatever. All of a sudden, somebody comes by. What do you have there? I have bagels. How many do you have? I need all of them. I'm making a simcha, whatever. She sells all the bagels, just like this. And then she says, Ribbono Shel, you're so busy with so many earth-shattering responsibilities in this world. Where do you find the time to look into this little almona's basket to see how many bagels she sold that day? That's the Hashem. Yes, he looks into the basket. Every little thing makes a difference to him. So we can rely on him for a penny and for 75 cents, for $75, and $7,500, $75,000, $75 million, and 75 bagels, and two bagels, and one bagel, and half a bagel, and a kizayis of a bagel. It's all the same thing. And I believe we can be machazik this every day, 100 times a day. When we make a brocha, brocha to Hashem Elokeinu, melech ha'olam. I'm taking a drink of water. A little bit of water. Okay, water is important. Maybe candy is less important than water in reality. Okay, fine. I'm having a candy. I make a brocha, shahakol, brocha to Hashem, you're the mekor brocha Elokeinu, melech ha'olam. You're the melech ha'olam. You have so many more important things to do in this world. But you take the time to make sure that I have this little candy, that I have this drink of water, that I have this little apple, that I have whatever it is I'm having. The Melech HaOlam has nothing more important than to make sure. When we know that, now we can put our trust in him. Because to him, everything's important. I think we have to leave it at that. But